Because that's what we just witnessed. The working of the Holy Spirit. David, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for letting God use you. Now let's look at our scripture in Acts chapter 1. A short verse. It says, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And in Baptist life, that's a terminology that scares people to death. Because some people teach and some people think that when you talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that means you're going to speak in tongues or do some kind of healing process, or maybe you're going to get up and jump all around and dance on pews or whatever else goes on, or maybe I'll come up and hit you in the head and slap you and knock you down or whatever. But that's not at all what the Bible means when it says being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It may be possible that the Holy Spirit will work in you in such a way that you may speak in tongues. There's biblical accounts of it, so God's done it. It's possible for God to do it, if that's what He wants to do. It may be possible that God would use you to pray over somebody and see a miraculous, instantaneous healing in somebody's life. It's happened before. It can happen again. But it's not like turning on a water faucet on and off. Nor can you schedule when God's going to work miraculously. John baptized with water, it says, which was a sign of penitence, and it was in reference to the remission of sin. But Jesus Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit for the destruction of sin, the illumination of the mind, and the consolation of the heart. When Jesus baptizes, He destroys sin. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He destroys sin. He illuminates the mind. He lets us see the things of God. And He consoles our heart. He encourages us. You see, John's baptism was a reference to the spiritual kingdom. But the baptism by Christ in the Holy Spirit established and maintains the kingdom. When we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom is established within our life. Not established from eternity, but established within our life. We're newborn. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us, and the kingdom becomes alive in our lives. To baptize is to immerse, to overwhelm, or to saturate. So Jesus is saying that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are overwhelmed or you are saturated by the Holy Spirit. I love that. I love that. That means that there is not one little bitty part of your life that He cannot work in. There's not a need in our lives that He cannot meet. There's not a weakness in our lives that He cannot overcome and strengthen. There's not a hurt or a pain in our lives, whether it be emotional or physical, that He cannot heal. Not only can He do these things, but He wants to do these things in our lives more and more. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to do so much more in our lives than we allow Him, that we just cannot grasp all that He wants to do. You see, we must understand that the Holy Spirit of God will not come into our lives and force radical changes upon us. He's not going to do that. He doesn't work that way. Until we are willing to allow Him to make a difference in our lives, He's not going to do much. It's just that simple. People say, you know, preacher, I prayed about this and I prayed about this and I prayed about that attitude or I prayed about that action and everything's still the same. Nothing ever changes. People say, I've asked God to take it away and give me the victory. I've asked God to help me overcome this sin and give me the victory. And sometimes, guys, we get so used to praying, so used to the ritual of prayer. We start with the same words. We use the same inflections here and there. We end with the same words. We change what's in the blanks in the middle. And we just go through the process sometimes. And sometimes we pray about things and we ask God to do things that we absolutely are not willing for Him to do. And until we become truly willing for the Spirit to work in our lives, He's not going to do a whole lot. Until we are willing to change, He's not going to help us change. You know, we all say that about the alcoholic and the drug addict. Until they're willing to change, they're not going to get changed. Till they want to get better, they're not going to get better. That's absolutely true. But until Christian people, till people who have been born again and who know the Word of God and who get these guilt things every now and then because God, you know, God wants us to do this, and so we pray, God, help me do that. Until we get ready to get serious and really are willing to change our lives so God can do what it is we're telling Him we want to do, nothing's going to happen. So what do we do? How do we position ourselves so that the Holy Spirit will do the work in our lives that He's more than able to do and that He wants to do? How do we do all that? Well, when we ask God to do something in our lives, we need to start living like it's already fully accomplished. Say what? That means, for example, if we pray and ask God to make us a soul winner, then we need to start encountering people with an action plan for telling them about Jesus. We need to know, we need to be prepared. We need to know what we're going to do. Are we going to use the Roman road? Are we going to use John 3:16? Are we going to share our testimony in 90 seconds? What are we going to do? How am I going to tell you about Jesus when we encounter you? You say, I want God to use me to see people be saved. What am I doing to prepare myself for that? And am I allowing myself to be put into places where God might use me for that? Maybe we're asking God to give us a victory over a particular sin in our lives. And if we're asking God to give us victory over a particular sin in our lives, then we need to start living like He's already done that. We need to step up. We need to quit putting ourselves in the situation where that sin is serious. We need to start living as though that sin is not a problem, instead of living like we can't get over it. God is not going to start working in us until we start taking the steps to show Him that we are serious. God's not going to give us power until we are in a situation where we need that power. God never in his entire life gave David Mills the power to stand up before the church and to sing "How Great Thou Art" and to honor God by doing that until the very moment that David stood up to honor God in that way, and then He empowered him. He gave him everything he needed to do that. God did not save us until we took that step of faith and started believing and living like it was already completed, even though yet we have not experienced the completeness thereof. And you might say, well, preacher, God has already done everything necessary for me to be saved, and He has given me the victory and promises that I will see that completion. Yes? He's also given you victory over sin. He's done everything He needs to do for you to experience that victory. He's done everything He needs to do for you to experience the victory over the powers of darkness. He's done everything that He needs to do to give you the power and the courage to be a witness for Him. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you will be my witnesses. So I guess the question, and it applies to all of us, what's the holdup? Why don't we see the evidence of the saturation in our lives by the Holy Spirit? At least in the lives of more Christians than we do. I mean, why not? Being baptized by the Holy Spirit isn't something that we strive for. It's not something that we have to go looking for. It's not some kind of a second blessing that comes upon us at some point in our lives. It's not some mysterious thing. When God works through the person of the Holy Spirit and saves us and gives us new birth in Christ Jesus as we respond to His invitation to salvation, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the believer, we've looked at that, we talked about that last time we were looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, at that same instant, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At that same instant, we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. At that same instant, the Holy Spirit is saturating our lives. At that same time, our entire life is immersed in Him. When we begin that personal relationship, when we receive Christ by faith, begin that personal relationship with Him and with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work to make us like Christ. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He begins the work when we are saved, and he continues working in our lives. We must be confident. We talked this morning about absolutely, completely believing, having unshakable faith in the Word of God. Well, we must have an unshakable faith in the Word of God, confident that the Spirit that begins working the good work of salvation in us and making us like Jesus is going to continue it until the day that Jesus comes or he calls me home, whichever happens first. Sometimes, though, you've been there. I've been there more than I like to admit. Sometimes we just decide we can do it on our own. We don't need to pray about it. We don't need to ask God for help. We just decide to do it on our own. We make the decision and go for it. Paul speaks about this in Galatians 3:3. He doesn't mince words. He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. Are you so foolish that you believe that what God's Holy Spirit began in your life, you can take over and finish the job?" And in truth, we would have to answer yes to that sometimes. I wonder what it is that makes us think that having been given new life by God, that we can successfully complete it apart from his Spirit. I wonder what makes us think that. Truth is, if we are Christ followers, then every aspect of our life at one time was saturated by the Holy Spirit. And yet we still find ourselves trying to be the captain of the ship. We still find ourselves wanting to do things my way instead of God's way. We still find ourselves in the middle of the battles that every day that he's already won on our behalf. He's finished that. All we have to do is receive it. So maybe why is it that we don't allow God through the Holy Spirit to give us the experience of victory that is already won for us? Do you get that? In other words, why don't we receive the victory he's already won? Why don't we embrace the victories he's already won? Why don't we make that a reality in our lives instead of struggling so hard with the same stuff over and over and over? Is it because you don't think God can handle your needs? You think maybe he's not big enough to take care of the big things in your life? But Paul said in Philippians 4, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Got that? My God shall supply every need of yours. Every need of yours. Which ones? Which ones? All. He shall supply everything you need. Who's he saying this to? Peter and Mary and John and Martha? Who's he saying it to? Christ followers. My God shall supply every need of yours, of mine, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe we don't appropriate the victories and the power of God in our lives. Maybe we just don't think that God has the power to do what it's needed. Maybe we think that some of this is more than God can handle. I mean, after all he did was open his mouth and speak the world into creation. But this problem I've got probably takes more power than that. And yet, Jesus said in Matthew 28, says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All power, all authority for heaven and for earth has been given to me. Wow. Can I have a need that he doesn't have power to meet? I don't think so. Maybe it's because we don't think God knows our needs. I mean, you know, he's pretty busy. There's a lot of big stuff going on in the world today. There's elections and there's all of this murders and all of this sexual revolution and all of this other stuff going on in the world. He don't have time to just stay focused on me. He doesn't. Maybe he just can't know it all. But Matthew 6:32 says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And when Luke writes that, he says, and it is his good pleasure to give it to you. And here's the biggie. Here's the one people have more trouble with than anything else. We have trouble believing that God could love me enough to care about me and the insignificance of my problems in the scheme of things of the world. Have trouble believing that God could care about me, love me enough to do that. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have life eternal. And 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. He sent his Son to be the payment for my sin. When we think about God's love for us, when you think about how much God loves you, and I want you to think about how much God loves you, because when I think about and when I understand and when I comprehend how much God loves me, he reminds me that he loves everybody else the same. And when I want to know how much God loves me, when I need to be reminded how much God loves me, there is no place other than the cross to go. Because God settled the question of his love when he allowed his son to be nailed to that cross. Just for me. If you didn't even exist, and I was the only one, Jesus would still have gone to the cross. And if I didn't exist and you were the only one, he still would have gone to the cross. And nothing can define love any better than that. Whatever excuses we may come up with to not allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives as much as he wants to, the real reason is one of two things. It's either a lack of faith, we don't believe he can, or it's just pure selfish disobedience. I know what God wants, but I'm going to do it my way. And oh, I've been there. Have you? So, as we wrap this up, Paul wrote to young Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." I know who I believe in, and I know that he is able to take care of me and all of my need until the day that Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit works to empower, to enhance, to encourage, to fill our lives with victory. We must but yield to him. Pray with. Thank you again, our Father, for allowing us to be in this place. Thank you for reminding us how you want to work in our lives and how you want to fill our lives and how you want to overflow through our lives. Help us to remember that you want to overflow through our lives, and you want us to have victory over sin and victory over pain and victory over evil, so that you might be glorified in and through who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.